bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good day, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. We have a great program for you today. We'll be focusing on multiple topics, which is so important. And really, they are rooted in the Word of God. And in the WINGS program, where we're dealing with inmate reentry work and recovery from substance abuse and alcoholism, the stories, my friends, are endless of tragedy within family life. And we're going to start off today talking a little bit about division, which is so important. And, you know, the Lord's Word tells us that, you know, there will be division within a house, between a mother and a father, between a father and a son, a mother and a daughter. There will be division in families because of him, because of who we decided to follow. And unfortunately, when you have division, very often you have bad feelings. You have difficult relationships, and you have separation. I knew a family once who the husband had a alliance with his mother, who had a beef against the Catholic Church for many years. And so he chose not to go to the Catholic Church, and his wife for 50 years and more attended the Catholic Church. So although they raised five children, and he told her that, you know, you're welcome to go to your church, they themselves rarely, if ever, went to church together on Sundays. A heavy cross to bear. But that division, because of, you know, a beef against the church that the mother carried, you know, and I'm not sure exactly specifically what the beef was, but I know for many years they were separation. But you and I, as we decide to pursue that relationship with Christ, will have to pull away from some of the circles we may have been in before who didn't include God, who didn't like to mention the word Jesus, who walked away basically from music that was unattractive because it was praise and worship or focused on the Word of God. And so there will be division. And as we prepare for better days after incarceration, after recovery, we want to understand that there may be division in the home that we go to or the home that we create. But God is with us in all things. He says where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is present. And we want to remember that. And we don't want to compromise the great feeling that we have, that grace that God gives us each and every day, when we get closer to him, when we bond with him, and we are aligned with him more and more. We don't want to give that up by compromising, you know, what it is we know that we have to do. So I just want to, you know, start out today with division and acknowledge that there will be division within homes. And we have to prepare for that, but be strong. And don't compromise, but always proceed in a loving and kind way. We treat others as you would like to be treated, but make sure that you are not neglecting your faith because of other people. get what you need, be strong, be firm, and share the faith whenever you can in a loving and precious way. And people will see God in you. With that, we pray for them that they will be changed. They will be opened. They will be converted, ultimately by the Holy Spirit. We can have an impact on people, but we can't convert anyone. They can be touched in the heart or mind by a story. But only God truly can bring that person to him. The next topic we want to talk about is anger, which is so important, because in a lot of relationships we see angry people, you know, proceeding in a direction that they shouldn't. And anger, you know, is not something we're born with. We are born at peace as little newborns. But when we get into a position in life where we are stagnating with problems, things that frustrate us, that go on week to week, month to month, and don't change, that stagnation breeds frustration, and the frustration leads to anger. So keep in mind that we have to become problem solvers. And as we solve each problem, we move forward and get back into a peaceful state once again. No matter what the problem is, and it may be a small one or maybe a large one, but we have to try to solve the problem and then move forward with the peace once again. And, you know, there's small examples of that and large ones as well. And the Lord says, you know, in the book of Matthew, you know, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill. And whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Rakah, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to a fiery Gehenna. Therefore, and listen up now, my friends. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you recall that your brother has anything against you, then leave your gift there at the altar, but go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on your way to the court with him. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. So the Lord calls us to settle our accounts in a peaceful way. And as much as we want to go to the Lord, we also have to go first to the people who we have to make amends with. We've got to do it. The Word of God, through the mouth of Matthew, who walked with the Lord, tells us to go first and be reconciled with your brother. And there are many examples of people who are carrying that, you know, bitterness, that lack of forgiveness, lack of an apology for years. God calls us to be reconciled. Reconciliation is key. And when we have truly, you know, gone the distance, gone the extra mile, those memories will be gone. And it will be replaced by an inner peace that God provides. It's not that we forget, it's just that at the moment, the peace that we have is much greater than even the thought of whatever took place in the past. And that's where we want to be. God gives us the grace to forgive versus to carry anger. He gives us the grace to make an apology and to carry the peace that comes as a result of it for years to come. Just recently, I've done some work with a woman who had a husband who cheated on her with someone close to her. And it took 3 years, my friends, but the Lord took it away, took that terrible inner feeling away, that bitterness, hostility, that anger away, and he replaced it with a great peace. And the two women have bonded once again and have been able to move forward with God's grace. And it's something that we all pray for, and to see it come about in action within a family is very powerful, because that's the calling we have, is to forgive, to be reconciled, and to move forward with a peace that we can share with others. And God doesn't want us to be angry forever, and we follow in his footsteps. In the Word of God, it says, divine anger lasts only a moment, and divine favor a lifetime. And that's where we want to be. We want to be humble enough, have enough humility to forgive and to make the apology if we have to. We are all at one point or another in life on both sides of that coin. But no apology, no peace. No forgiveness, no peace. We carry the thought of that event, of that person, in our minds until we go. But God calls us to reconcile, to make amends. And this is important. And I've shared many stories about people who have done some terrible things to other people in different ways. And in the Wings program, we had a man who was addicted to opiates and some other things like cocaine and crack cocaine and alcohol. And he was over at his mother's house one day and had an opportunity to take some money from her pocketbook. And he stole $200 from her because he was desperate. And when she found out about it after the fact, she realized that her son had taken $200 from her pocketbook. And it took her 2 years to get over that violation of privacy. It wasn't about the money. She would have given him the money if he had asked for it, if he was going to do the right thing with it. But as a drug addict and a man whose priorities were drugs first, everything comes second, you know, she wouldn't have given him the money. So he took it on his own without even asking. And it cost him 2 years of separation from his biological mother, the mother who gave birth to him. And I share that with you, my friends, because after 2 years, she was able to talk to her son once again. This took place in Philadelphia. And I just tell you that this is happening all over the world. But we have to forgive. Let's not allow something like $200 to come between a mother and a son. Let's go to work. Let's make a living. Let's work 40 to 55 hours a week and start putting money in the bank, so we don't have to steal. so we don't have to offend people who love us, take advantage, manipulate, like in this situation. There's all kinds of examples, but I'll tell you, where there is, anger, we need to get rid of it. And either anger or forgiveness, we have to look at these topics of discussion as being important. Because it's very difficult to forgive in some cases. Could take years. And it's also very difficult to avoid getting angry. God calls us to a peaceful life. He doesn't want us to go through what we call the 168, Monday to Sunday, in an angry way. We don't want to bring that anger to our children when we come home from work, to our wives and families, to our friends and neighbors. He's calling us to a peaceful life. And this is important. So we want to move forward from these things, like a lack of forgiveness or the spirit of bitterness and anger. We want to have a strategy to avoid anger at all times, because it's coming down the pike. We know that sometimes we all get angry in the day-to-day of life. The key is, how do we deal with that anger? How do we manage that anger? How do we get rid of that anger and get back to the peaceful day that we once have? And this is important. And God calls us, in life to love our enemies, which is another topic to discuss. And he says this in the book of Matthew: "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes the sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." And this is important, my friends. God's calling us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Hard to do in the day-to-day of life as human beings, we know. But he calls us to pray for those who persecute us. The power of prayer is exponential. We don't even understand it, but God calls us to pray for our enemies, to help them to change, to convert their heart from the stone cold to the warm heart, the loving heart, from the greedy person to the generous person. God loves a generous giver. He calls us, my friends, to help people to make changes through prayer, to pray for the alcoholics who are disrupting their lives and the lives of their families. He calls us to pray for the incarcerated, the people who are locked up because of mistakes that they made, the people who are separated through incarceration from their children for years. He calls us to pray for those who have cancer and disease and are on their deathbeds, waiting for that moment when God calls them home. He calls us, my friends, to pray, because the power of prayer is something that we don't understand, but he does. And anything that he calls us to do is got to be good, because all good things come from God. So when we talk about our enemies, God calls us to love them and pray for those who persecute us. Once again, it's a difficult challenge, but we take on that challenge because God tells us to do it. With God's help, all things are possible. From the Gospel of Luke. And as we go into our program, my friends, there are many of those who are incarcerated who are looking to come home and to reintegrate themselves within their families and communities. And then there are those who want to retaliate, to get back, to get revenge. And we had a guy in the program at the House of Corrections in Philadelphia who was that guy. And in his action plan was total revenge, to get back at every family member who put him in the jail. And basically with that strategy, my friends, he would have been in a very bad place legally and find himself in violation of probation and would be adding time to time and never come home. And we were able to create a vision in his mind of just that. And so we had great opportunity at that point to help him to amend his action plan for the future, which included no revenge, no retaliation. And God's word says this about retaliation. Once again, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. So retaliation is very important. Because in a lot of families, people, when they get offended, want to get revenge, to retaliate. They want to get back. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But God tells it differently, my friends. And in the Wings program, we want to line up with what God says to do and not to do. We're not going to take it upon ourselves to do it our way. What would Jesus do in this scenario, in this situation? What would he do? You might be out there right now considering retaliation or revenge. You might be husband and wife. Many years ago, I met a woman who was in a nursing home who shared with me this story. Her husband had cheated on her while she was about 40 years old, and she was devastated. And about 9 months to a year later, roughly, she decided that she was going to get revenge. And so she arranged to have an affair. And on her way to the affair, she had a terrible accident and was left 60% paralyzed forever. She ended up in a nursing home. She had children. And she ended up in that nursing home, and she shared with me this up at Inglis House on City Line Avenue. She said this. I said to her, how are you doing today? She said, well, every day's a tough day. You see, I have to be bathed by someone I don't even know because I'm paralyzed 60%. So every day this man, this aide comes in, wheels me into the shower, stands me up, washes me, and even, you know, takes care of my feminine needs, you know. And it is so difficult to go through that. And that's my life. I'm at the mercy of other people to take care of me. Again, she never had the affair, but her intentions were to do it. And God calls us to do the opposite. He says, but I say to you, offer no resistance to the one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. God's ways are different than our ways, my friends. We have to be careful about the words we speak and the actions we're about to take, because in the Word of God it says that a father has the right to discipline his son. And you and I will be disciplined. And before that happens, we want to consider the consequences of what can happen. You know? And God works in many, many ways. And I just tell you that what we're doing today in the Wings program here at Holy Spirit Radio is providing guidance and directions to those who like to do things their way, but God's way is better than your way or my way. So we want to submit, we want to comply, and we want to read into and listen and to embrace the Word of God, the ways of God, so that we can have a better outcome, a better result. In the Wings program, very often I'll ask men and women, you know, what kind of decisions have you made in the last year, and how did it work out? Almost always, the answer is not so good. Isn't it time to make a change, my friends, to God's way of doing things? Isn't it time to get out of the way and to allow God to work perfectly in our lives through the Holy Spirit, guiding us and directing us to a better way to go? Whether it be anger, division, forgiveness, love of enemies, retaliation, or anything else, let's try it God's way from now on. That's our show for today, my friends. I want to thank you for tuning in with us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. And I want to wish you a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving holiday. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. God bless.